Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday, October the 10th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock. So how satisfied are you with your life? Do you consider yourself happy? We'll talk about a new study about happiness that finds a change in how men and women answer that question. Back in the early 1970s, women reported being slightly happier than men. Now it's reversed. Men report being happier than women these days. Why do you think this is? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. We will talk about why things have changed. Was it because of women's liberation or something else? We'll talk with two guest researchers about their research and their answers to these questions, and we'll welcome yours, too. We are happy to have with us Justin Wolfers, an assistant professor of business and public policy for the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, joint researcher for the study on the paradox of declining female happiness. Good morning.
Joy, good morning.
And Betsy Stevenson, assistant professor of business and public policy for the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania and joint researcher for the same study. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you're joint researchers and your domestic partners. Is that correct?
That's absolutely the case.
So this is interesting. You both, a man and a woman researching the happiness of men and women.
We figured we got all our bases covered that way.
Yeah. So what did you do to determine this outcome, that these days men are happier than women?
There's been in big public surveys, they ask people questions like the ones you suggested, you know, taking things all together these days, how happy are you, or how satisfied are you with your life? And these surveys have been asked of thousands of Americans and Europeans every year since the 1970s. And the fact that really just jumped out at us was that in the 70s, women were much more likely to say they were very happy, much less likely to say they were unhappy. And you fast forward to today, and the reverse appears to be the case. You know, we find this a little bit surprising if you think about what's happened in society over that period. There's lots of ways of thinking about things, but I think with the progress made by the women's movement, with decreased discrimination in the workplace, with increased options available to women, women have more opportunities to have made themselves happy. Yet, that's not what the data appears to say.
Yeah, and any theories, Betsy Stevenson, why that might be?
Well, I think, you know, we started looking at this exactly because you would expect to see the opposite. And there are a number of studies out there that try to use this type of subjective well-being data to measure public policy, to see, you know, does a policy make us better or worse off? And we started looking at this, and we found this very puzzling. And so it raises a number of questions. I think it obviously raises a question that I think a lot of your listeners are going to comment on, which is, are women's lives truly better, or are they more harried today? Do they have so many domains that they are trying to excel at that this is making them really just stretch too thin? And I've been really overwhelmed by the response of women to this research, that they are less happy, they're exhausted, they feel pulled in different directions. And this isn't something we're hearing just from women who are trying to balance a career with motherhood, although I'm sure we're going to hear from many of those today. Mm-hmm. But we're hearing this even in the data. We see this even with 12th grade girls, that we see girls are less happy today than they were in the past. And when we look to see what might be going on, they say in the data that girls today, first of all, have expectations to excel in multiple domains, and they are less satisfied today with the amount of free time they're having. They're less satisfied with the amount of fun they're having. In fact, they're even less satisfied with the people that they spend their free time with, relative to teenage boys who where things are really just holding firm.
I mean, I guess the first thing that did come to mind was the superwoman syndrome thing, where, you know, the balancing of career and family. I'm wondering if girls are preparing for superwoman syndrome.
Well, it's certainly, if they're preparing, what they're doing is digging in deep to get to in building their skills today to excel in the, you know, in many domains, because what we're seeing is that they're pushing themselves academically, they're pushing themselves in sports, and yes, they are still pushing themselves to be popular and attractive.
Yeah. We will welcome callers. What about you? Why do you think this is, that there appears to be a change in happiness levels? It used to be that women were happier in life than men back in the early 70s, but now that's reversed, and men say they report that they are happier than women. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. We are talking with the joint researchers for this study on the paradox of declining female happiness. Justin Wolfers, an assistant professor of business and public policy for the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and Betsy Stevenson, assistant professor of business and public policy for the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, October the 10th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will talk about the lobbyist. For many, the word lobbyist is synonymous with the devil, but Ben's guest after 5 reminds us that lobbying is actually a constitutionally protected act and for good reason. So in defense of the lobbyist, coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about happiness this hour. Wondering if you're happy. Are you generally satisfied with your life? Are you a man or a woman? And would it surprise you that men and women are answering that question differently these days? Back in the 1970s, women were much more happier than men, and now it's the other way around. Why have things changed? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. And I'm going to hazard a guest, Betsy Stevenson, and say that one of the reasons things have changed is that it is sort of the balancing of work and career thing, but women, yes, we have more opportunity, we have more, you know, we're getting paid more, lots of wonderful things on the work front, but we're still doing all the housework.
Well, Joy, I think that that's certainly a point worth digging into. There's a lot of researchers who spent time looking at time use diaries, so how people spend their day. And in fact, men, to give them credit, are doing a lot more of the housework and taking care of children than they used to in the past. Women are still doing more than men, but the number of total hours spent working in a day between men and women in combined in housework and in their jobs seems to be about roughly the same. So there might be a little bit that going on there, and certainly there's another study that shows that women spend about 90 minutes more in their day doing unpleasant things, while men spend that extra 90 minutes doing something they enjoy. And so there's certainly a gap there. I think it doesn't come as simply down to the idea of the second shift that we might have thought, in particular because those differences have been eroding.
Mm-hmm. Justin, do you agree?
I think one of the interesting things is looking at the happiness data. If what you're worried about was women trying, if you thought it was all being driven by women trying to balance work and family life, you might have thought that the decline in happiness would only be true among women who are, in fact, in the workforce. When we look at the data, it turns out to be that women have become less happy relative to men, whether they're working or not, whether they're married or not, whether they have kids or not, and at just about every age group as well.
And Joy, I want to jump in here because I think we all talk immediately about what might be making women less happy. But one of the other things that's consistent with our finding is that women are changing how they answer the question. So it may be, first of all, they're just being more honest about their feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things the women's movement may have given us is the capability of telling a researcher, if we're not happy, we're not happy. Alternatively, it may be that our expectations are changing. We look around us, and in the past, we only compared ourselves to other women. We measured our lives up against that. And today, we get more angry when we see, you know, the guy in the cubicle next to us who doesn't even appear as smart, and you just found out he got a raise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our expectations have changed. Let's go to the phones. Diane in Sheboygan. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
When I heard this subject, I guess the first thing that crossed my mind was that women, because of divorce rate, women are taking on the responsibility of raising the children normally in the home. The man a lot of times is involved, but I don't think taking the responsibility of having the children come home every night, and then also that affects their income. So in my opinion, I feel like women are harried because they're trying to, you know, do what's right for the children, but they don't have as much money to be able to do that, and money always causes stress.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe a higher divorce rate and more single mothers, Betsy Stevenson?
Well, we looked at the data to actually see, is this happening for a particular group, as Justin was just mentioning. And we see declines in happiness for married women relative to married men. We see declines for divorced women relative to divorced men, and we see declines in happiness for never married women relative to never married men. So it's across all of the marital categories. And we also see these declines, women getting less happy relative to men, when we hold income constant. So if we look at somebody just in a given income category, we still see these declines.
Joy, let me add one more thing there. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that over the past half century, there's been huge changes in the American family form. But one of the least appreciated facts is that the divorce rate in the U.S., in fact, has been falling every year since 1979. It's been falling, not rising. And mm-hmm. so I think that puts the caller's idea in a somewhat different context. In fact, families are becoming more stable, not less. It's one of those strange disjunctions that what we hear in the media is not actually what appears to be true.
Interesting. Diane, thank you for the call. Janice in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Janice.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm part of the 60s and 70s. I just part of the women's lib and let her rip and away we go and hot doggy and, you know, the pill and bra burning and the whole bit. And I said, wow, nothing to do with really religion in particular or the church. And I'm 59, so I just came back to the Catholic Church 4 years ago, and I'm happy. I finally felt the truth. And, you know, I live with all this, to me, immorality when I look back at it. And I thought, wow, you know, what the heck's going on here? I mean, you know, the breakdown of the family, our morals today. I mean, no wonder we're unhappy, you know. And even just your point right there, to saying the divorce rate is low. I mean, I was married like, you know, 2-3 times, meant nothing to me. So, and I'm obviously not even married anymore, which I'd love to be married. But, I'm looking for a Catholic man. If I can find one at 60, I'll be excited, right? But anyway, the point is, you know, to me, it's like, look, we have such a breakdown in morals today that no wonder people are unhappy. I mean, I'm looking for a Catholic man. That's like going to be a miracle, you know, after I've come around to find the truth, you know. Yeah.
How does that explain the gap, though, between men and women, Janice?
How does this explain the gap?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and women, for sure. I mean, I love this theology of the body, the difference between men and women. I mean, men are men, women are women, but no, women's live. We tried to be men. We're unhappy. I want to be a woman. I want to be a mother. I want to be home. You know, I've always wanted to be that. Mm-hmm. And I've never, you know, tried to get out there and be a man. That is not the thing. I really want to be a woman who God made me to be that way. And I'm happy to be a woman. Now I feel my place. But I want to be supportive of a man, but I can't find a man.
Well, lots of different points here. What about breakdown in morals, Justin Wolfers?
So I think you're right. So I think the question that Janice's theory raises, morality, I'm sure, could be a big part of happiness. But the question it raises is, why would it be a different part of happiness for men and women?
Mm-hmm.
So for what it's worth, I mean, American religiosity hasn't actually declined through this period. You know, Americans still go to church at incredibly high rates, both men and women. The other thing I should say is, one of the things we've done in our research is we've tried to see whether the same overall pattern that we described, the declining happiness of women relative to men, holds true even when we account for the religion of each individual who we survey. And it turns out that the same fact holds true, which is another way of saying we don't think that the smoking gun here is changing religiosity or morality. I think one of the things you'll hear us, both of us, say over and over again is, we think that each theory has a little bit of truth to it, but none of them looks like it explains what's going on overall. So when researchers call something the paradox, it's sort of code for, why, jingo, we can't quite figure out what it is that's driving this overall trend.
Yeah. What about something that was in Janice's comments that I picked up on a little bit, is that she, almost like she wants to go back to the traditional gender role of women.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. So there are large-scale surveys today in which, so there are two ways of trying to approach this question. One would be to ask women today how happy they are and compare them to women in the 1970s. Another would be to ask women today whether they would be happier being a woman today or a woman in the 1970s. The data on this are overwhelming. Women believe that they have more opportunities to make themselves happy today than they did 25 or 50 years ago. They believe they have more opportunities than their parents had, and they believe that the women's movement probably did make them happier. So there are certainly people like Janice out there in the surveys, but they're actually in the minority.
And, Joy, let me add something to that, which is that you have to think something beyond that Janice wants a traditional life, but that not only does she want a traditional life, but she really, really wants all the other women to have it. Because it's still possible for women to stay at home, to raise kids, to have a more traditional life. There are some women that are making that choice today. You can certainly meet a spouse who's going to support that goal, and you can achieve it. And so the issue is not about a woman not being able to have that traditional life. Many women do have it. Many women choose it. But you have to think that somehow I'm less happy because other women around me are choosing something different.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Justin Wolfers and Betsy Stevenson. They are joint researchers for a new study called The Paradox of Declining Female Happiness. Both are professors in the School of Business and Public Policy, the Wharton School of Business and Public Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. And their research finds that women today are less happy than they used to be back in the 1970s, and men are happier than women. Why is this? You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Wednesday, October the 10th. It's 6:36, and we're talking about happiness this hour and the gender gap in happiness, talking with two researchers who have discovered that women used to report that they were satisfied with their lives, that they were happy with their lives a lot more back in the 1970s than they are today. In fact, it's reversed. Now men report being happier than women. And we're talking about this research and wondering why this might be, and welcoming your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I hope it makes you happy that we will be starting our fall pledge drive tomorrow. That's right. The fall membership drive kicks off tomorrow morning at this time during this hour, and Wisconsin Public Radio does need some volunteers to answer phones for the pledge drive throughout the week. If you would like to help out, are able to help, come to Vilas Hall here on the UW-Madison campus and answer phones during the pledge drive, please visit our website, wpr.org/volunteer. Or you can also call this Madison number. No one's there now, but you can probably leave a message. 608-263-2564. 608-263-2564. If you're able to do it early in the mornings, I'll certainly be able to say hello to you after I'm off the air or in between programs. And I hope to be able to see you during the pledge drive as you volunteer to answer phones during the pledge drive. Now, back to our conversation about happiness with our two guests. They are both joint researchers for this study on the paradox of declining female happiness. Both are assistant professors of business and public policy for the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. They are Justin Wolfers and Betsy Stevenson. And our next caller is Deborah in Waukegan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say that I think there's been I'm on a very noisy train. But I think there's been a general overall decline in a background context in this country, in this culture of trust and community. And, you know, when I look at, you know, I was a young adult in the 60s, and we had lots of hopes and expectations. And, you know, I think we had a brief spurt under Clinton of some more hopes and expectations, and then lots of things happened that were disappointing then. But in general, I guess I just sort of started thinking about this in response to the question. I guess I'm proposing that maybe women are in some ways just more sensitive to that than men. And I don't mean that men are clods. I just mean that I think so much of a context of being a woman, including, you know, that sort of primary sense of responsibility for the family that kind of comes out, you know, on the average, but just that whole background of, is there a culture you can trust? Is there a community you can lean on? I mean, just there's so many pieces of it, including that families. I mean, look at my own family. I grew up with 300 people around me at all time, and we're all times, you know, in a clan, and we're all sort of scattered to the four winds. It's just, that's just a social trend, you know, but there's so many trends that have led towards a sense of anonymity, and then just politically, there's just, I thought people thought then and how I think people think now, and there's just a lot less trust.
Yeah. Oh, well, and women might be more sensitive to that, Betsy Stevenson?
I'm really glad that you mentioned this idea, because I think it's quite possible that there is another social trend that's happening that is affecting women's happiness differentially from men's, and we're not thinking of it because it is affecting both of them. It's just making women worse off. And trust, a decline in trust or a decline in community is, in fact, one of the hypotheses we put forward in the paper as something that potentially might be affecting women differently from how it's affecting men. And yeah, I agree with the caller. It's not that men are clods. It just might be that women's happiness might be more sensitive to a change in community or a change in trust or how society interacts.
Mm-hmm. You want to add anything, Justin Wolfers?
Just to add that I think Deborah's spot on to have observed the decline in trust in community, and it's a very interesting book a couple of years ago from Robert Putnam called Bowling Alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she's pointing to what's clearly an important social trend. The bigger question here, if it's going to explain the facts we put forward, is whether women are, in fact, more sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. It may well be the case, but that's an open question.
Yeah, thank you very much, Deborah, for calling us at the train station. Mike in Palmyra is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I've noticed. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I'm married for 10 years, and older sister. And my experience is, women are very much more critical of themselves, much more critical of other women than men. They've been brought up that way, and I think with the more responsibilities with careers, two-income families, you know, they feel more pressures to compete more in a way with each other and themselves. So they're being more critical of that.
Yeah, you're saying, Mike, that women are brought up to be more critical of other people?
Well, it seems they're more critical of themselves as women, you know, with hair, makeup, you know, looking nice, and their jobs and maybe, you know, just competing with men, you know, they're probably looking at themselves more critically than men do.
Yeah, this might be a good way to bring up, thank you, Mike, the hottie theory, Betsy Stevenson.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. You know, if what essentially Mike's saying is that, you know, women are very judgmental of themselves. They criticize themselves. They want, if they set a goal for themselves, they really want to excel. And if one of the things that's happened is that women are simply adding the domains into which they want to excel, and they're going to be continue to be as critical of themselves in each of the domains, we've just added new areas for women to be critical of themselves in. And that's the idea of the hottie theory, was that when we typically think about women pushing themselves in multiple domains, we think of the harried mom trying to balance a career and her family. But in fact, we saw this decline in happiness for girls relative to boys among teenage girls. But when you talk to teenage girls, you hear a similar type of increase in the number in the domains that they're trying to balance. They're trying to excel in sports, in schools, and they want to be attractive and popular, or as one girl put it, effortlessly hot. And if they now feel that they're falling in any one of those three areas, they might be much more critical of themselves. If in the past they were only, say, trying to be effortlessly hot, it would be much easier to achieve that goal and without having as much self-criticism.
Yeah. Justin Wolfers, anything more on Mike's comments?
I think that Betsy's covered it pretty well.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mike. Patricia in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I really liked, I think it was Deborah's, about community, and I thought, well, that's a better answer than mine. But my thought is the expectation, I think you mentioned that. I read a lot of articles and books on happiness, and they generally the idea is it's not what we do or don't do, the work kind of work we do, or the it's whether I see it, whether I perceive it as rewarding and meaningful. And I think there was a time when housework, we would call it, work at the home, could be very meaningful and creative, and you could do things that would put more of yourself into it, and that was rewarding. And now it seems that anything that's called housework is demeaning, and who's going to have to do it? And I think some of it for us women is seeing what we do as meaningful for the family and serving the family, and not just making money or just maybe even valued by the outside world, but I see it as meaningful. So I think, I guess I read a lot of books on happiness because I'm wondering about it for myself, but I think that it's perception of an expectation.
Justin Wolfers?
I think it's Patricia's absolutely right to raise this issue of expectations. And it may be, I think it matters in two ways. One is often the way people respond to happiness questions is how happy they are relative to their expectations. And so if women's expectations went up dramatically with the women's movement, maybe it's a little harder to meet them, and so maybe they'd report being a little less happy. That would obviously be a bad thing if they were less happy. An alternative is that women have actually really enjoyed the fabulous new opportunities offered to them over the past few decades. But when a researcher asks them about how happy they are, they just say how happy they are relative to what they understand another group to be, like men. So it could be that women actually got happier, but they're telling us that relative to whoever they're comparing themselves to now, they're less happy. But there's another really interesting thing in Patricia's idea. And a different way of thinking about this puzzle is just to say, you know, if the fact is that women have gotten less happy through time, maybe the puzzle isn't why are women unhappy today, but why were they so happy in the 1970s? And maybe they had tremendous meaning in their lives, or alternatively, maybe they felt that we're on the cusp of a gender revolution, and by jingo, wouldn't that have been exciting?
Yeah, and then now look what we have. Yeah. All right, Justin Wolfers and Betsy Stevenson are two guests, both researchers for this study, The Paradox of Declining Female Happiness, which found that men today are happier than women when back in the 1970s it was the other way around. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. If you have a reason to propose for this or a question for either of our guests. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October the 10th. Coming up after 7, I guess a somewhat related topic, nearly 1 million people in Wisconsin suffer from depression, but the condition can often be undetected or untreated. I will be welcoming in a couple of guests to talk about screening for depression and a new effort to get businesses in Wisconsin involved in the screening of their employees for depression. We'll be welcoming in Barbara Lawton, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, coming up after 7 o'clock, and then also a psychologist to talk with us more about detecting and treating depression. That's coming up in our next hour. I hope you'll stay tuned. And I hope you will join us for the rest of this hour as we continue to talk about happiness and this new research that finds that it used to be that women were happier in life than men, but now that trend has reversed and men are happier than women. Here's an email from Michael in Phoenix. And Michael used to live in Wisconsin and still listens to Wisconsin Public Radio over the internet. No kidding, he says, women are unhappy today, especially the older women that I date. I'm in my 50s. But more than unhappy, I would say women are angry. As much as I wish I could meet a woman to share my life, I've basically given up. Do your guests have any thoughts about why women are so angry today with men, with their jobs, their financial condition, the world in general? First off, Betsy Stevenson, is he right? Are women angry today as opposed to maybe not as happy as they used to be?
Well, I don't think we have any way of assessing that in terms of the data. We're not... there's nothing that would actually get at anger versus unhappiness. Mm-hmm. But let's take the idea, which is what could be making women, say, angry or simply more frustrated. And this comes back to something Justin was saying earlier, which is in the 1970s, women might have felt that we were on the cusp of a gender revolution in which men and women were going to have equal opportunities. And that might have created a big burst of happiness, you know, and with just the forecast, the very idea that gender, there was going to be gender equality in the future, women went ahead and got happy today. And it turns out that, well, yes, things have improved for women, but we don't have gender equality. So the gender wage gap did fall very, did shrink very rapidly in the 80s. But in fact, the rate at which the gender wage gap has closed slowed down in the 90s and has continued to slow down. And there's a lot of areas in which women still struggle with discrimination. And women, I think, might just be getting more frustrated with that today, because today their expectation is that we should have equality, and when they face discrimination, that makes them very frustrated. Whereas in the 1970s, women, well, frankly, might have been just more accepting or expecting of discrimination.
Ruth in Madison is with us now. Hi, Ruth. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I had a couple of things. First of all, body image, you know, that affects happiness, and television, which is all too pervasive. We have commercials. We have television shows themselves, and even the celebrities outside of the television shows themselves that present to us a body image that's nearly unattainable, except surgically. And yet we somehow feel we need to match up to that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I think comes from employers, I think women throughout history have had like a philosophy of many hands make light work. And we're in a period of time right now where the trend is to hire as few as possible. You know, so whereas we used to maybe have a floater, you know, so if somebody called in sick, then this floater would pop in and do their job. But now if someone calls in sick, everyone else has to do more, or they'll force somebody to work two shifts. You know, there's just this where money is more important than you attitude. And I could go more into depth about meanness, you know, the road rage, which I think comes from television, too, and just the politics, you know, that any time a law needs to happen, there's got to be something mean done. There's not a kind solution even considered, and it's just not a society that I think collaborative women work well in.
Interesting. Justin Wolfers, you want to start on that one? Or the body image one?
Yeah, I mean, I think this idea of body image, it's something we've had actually many women suggest to us may be one of the really important trends in happiness. We don't have really good data on this, unfortunately, but certainly anecdotally it seems consistent. And it also would really explain what we think is one of the big puzzles, which is that the trends we find are as true among 12th graders as they are among the rest of the population. Mm-hmm. And we do know that 12th graders care a lot about body image. If we tried to think of a group that was more affected by body image issues than others, you might imagine that those who are married care a little less than those who are not. You might not, but that's my best guess. But it turns out the decline in women's happiness is as true among those who are never married as it is among those who are currently married as it is among those who are divorced. So that still means that I think it's still somewhat puzzling as to what's going on.
Let me jump in here and just say that, you know, we talked about how there could be other trends that are affecting men and women differentially. Well, as I'm sure you realize, America's been increasing in obesity mm-hmm. very dramatically. And in fact, the obesity rates, I believe, are increasing a little bit more for women versus men. And it may be, but more importantly, it may be that women care more about this, so that men are getting fat and they're not bothered by it. Women are still getting fat, but they feel worse about it. And there we can bring in some of the ideas from other callers that women might be criticizing themselves more mm-hmm. about the fact that they're getting fat, whereas men are just more accepting of the fact that they're getting fat. And we do see this sort of across all groups, so that would be consistent with our findings.
Yeah. What about the, I don't know, she just said the workplace in general, and that it is more harried and workers are expected to do more with less?
Yeah, so you certainly hear that a lot, but it actually turns out one of the great constants of the American workplace is every generation of workers thinks that their working life is even harder than the previous generation. But when we look at people's job satisfaction, ask them how happy they are with their work, and part of this is how much meaning you find from it as well,
mm-hmm.
It hasn't moved in 40 years.
Hmm.
And it hasn't moved for men, and it hasn't moved for women. Now, the work that women do has changed dramatically. They've moved out of the household and into the market. But job satisfaction, you know, pretty flat.
Let's try to get another call or two in before we're done. Dan in Sparta, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm enjoying the show. My question is, do you think there may be a change in the basis of the measurement, what's going on? In the last 30 years, we hear more and see more of women rising to top positions in companies, CEOs and other top levels in the positions. We have women in the military now. And conversely, in what I would call, you know, stereotypical women's roles, nursing comes to mind, we have more men that are migrating into those industries. So is this playing a role in how job happiness is being perceived by both genders, in fact? And thanks, and I'll take your comments off the air.
Mm-hmm. Justin Wolfers?
This is a beautiful comment. Anytime you ever hear a social scientist talk about anything, one should ask, is it well measured?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basis of Dan's question. I think this raises real questions about the measurement of happiness. If you were confident that expanding opportunities for women to become happy would make them happier, then you would find our results very puzzling, potentially suggesting that maybe because of changing expectations and the like, people are answering questions about happiness differently. Well, this turns out to be really important. We currently have a country like Bhutan, of all countries, that's decided that the basis of their economy should be to maximize gross national happiness, not gross domestic product.
Hmm.
Sounds wonderfully
mm-hmm.
romantic. But if Dan's right that we aren't doing a very good job at measuring trends in happiness for all sorts of reasons, then potentially that would be a really bad policy.
Yeah. And we just have about a minute or so to go. Betsy Stevenson, anything more on what Dan had to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. One of the things Dan mentioned is women moving into men's jobs and men moving into women's jobs. And one of the things this might actually be doing is changing the group with which you compare yourself to. When someone says, how happy are you? Well, if you now think about sort of your coworkers in addition to your friends and family and say, well, relative to, you know, my coworkers and my friends and family, I'm very happy. Well, for now what we're doing is we're changing the gender mix. We might be having men comparing themselves more to women and women comparing themselves more to men. And when women are comparing themselves more to men, that may be actually making them less happy. They may think, oh, boy, I've got it rougher than this guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas men comparing themselves more to women doesn't seem to be having a big change in how men report their happiness.
This is fascinating stuff, and this hour flew by. I want to thank both of you for being with us.
Thanks, Joanne. Thanks to you, Colas.
Yes, thank you.
Justin Wolfers and Betsy Stevenson, both assistant professors of business and public policy for the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and both joint researchers for this new study on the paradox of declining female happiness. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for producing this program, and thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.